Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And wow. Only on May 23rd, 2019.
Yes, correct.
It's a very gray day here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I brought that in for you so you wouldn't have to deal with the heat. That's right. That's what I'm here
really?
For. Doing my job. Taking care of the weather.
It looks kind of sad, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I got it to be, I mean, when I'm driving out here and sitting on that freeway, I like a little cloud cover. Anybody else? Do you have any other New Yorkers here who want the cloud cover?
No.
Yeah. No. No. We got California girls
California
in the studio.
All the way.
That's right.
I liked that thunderstorm we had yesterday.
Yeah.
That was
kind of
cool.
That was exciting.
Happened
it was
right after
exciting.
I watered the
for
plants,
what, about
of course.
30 minutes,
that's right.
And then it was done.
Washed
that's
my
right.
car.
Yep, and then it rains. That's always the way it is. That's exactly right.
It's pretty cool.
Yep. But I tell you, a nice day here in Los Angeles, despite the clouds, obviously. Lots of
right.
good theater going on. Lots of fun stuff coming up, yeah?
Absolutely.
No doubt about
so
it.
So much.
Michael, as you said, it is May 23rd, and today we will be talking about a couple fantastic shows coming here, one of which is coming to the Odyssey Theater. Is that correct?
The Odyssey Theater?
The Odyssey Theater. It could be an Odyssey or a Bodice or an Odyssey. You never know.
That's right, Andrew. We have in studio with us today some remarkable people.
No doubt about it.
Two who are remarkable performers mm-hmm. and star in a show that's being done at the Odyssey Theater.
Mm-hmm. And that's Be a Good Little Widow, yeah?
That's right. An that's emotional right. comedy about loss and longing from the Peabody Award-winning writer-producer of NBC's hit This Is Us, which is yeah. currently really having a great time on television. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Sandy Bainham and Adrian Visnick.
That's right. Wow.
Nice applause. Thanks, guys.
They're old friends of the show and great, great performers as well. And we have a little more to add to our amazing show today, just because we figure the people deserve all the talent in the world, don't we, Michael?
We do, indeed.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Gail Gordon as well, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
And Gail. I'm looking at Gail, and you look so different than when you were on the Lucy show.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
I've changed genders. Am I allowed to say that?
You are allowed to say
totally
that.
I'm totally a different person, and now I do opera.
You're gorgeous, Gail.
Obviously, we're not going to have a trouble filling this amazing hour today, are we, Michael?
No, we are not.
We've got some fun people here, and obviously lots of cool things going on here at State of the Arts. But, Michael, before we jump in with our three amazing
yes.
guests today, we should take a moment
yeah.
and thank our sponsors as well.
I think so. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board.
I want to do a Princess Cruise.
Yeah. Let's go. Well, you're going to get an opportunity to win one here in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
wow.
right. We don't spare any expense here on State of the Arts.
We're princesses over here.
I'll finish that yeah. sentence. For coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month. From September to August, one lucky person will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new mm-hmm. Ocean Medallion ships.
Now you said something. That's
and
right.
make sure you do this. Make sure you come to LA Talk Radio and come to our page, State of the Arts, and you'll see the Princess logo. You click on that, and you take maybe about 20 seconds, 30 seconds to register, and you're in. So
that's
you can
right.
do it as many times as you like. And Andrew, this is a $5,000 gift from Princess
wow.
to
wow.
some lucky person.
Miss Gordon just ran out of the room to enter.
Yeah,
she lost her guest because of this great gift.
I've already signed up.
What I was so excited about, but Michael and I aren't eligible. Isn't that terrible?
I think it's unfair.
See,
it's
which means
unfair.
if somebody wins, they need to call and take us, right?
Right.
Sure.
But then they'd have
you're
to make required. A decision. It's just
that's
two people.
Why do you have to make a
you
decision?
You can go on the
well,
first half, I'll go on the
us.
Second half. They'll helicopter us in somewhere in the middle of the ocean, you know? Michael, obviously, we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. And as always, we encourage all of our listeners out there, particularly the performers, to contact CAFrancisPhoto.com, one of the best photographers here in Los Angeles. We know Carrie Ann Francis, and she's as good
as
it gets. And certainly will get you work. She's one of those photographers who makes you look the best you can possibly look. Again, CAFrancisPhoto.com.
Yeah. She did it for us. Right?
She made us look good. Now we know she's talented. Lots of good stuff going on here in South.
Yes.
Hey, before we jump in, Michael, how was your week?
It's been very dedicated to the upcoming opening this Sunday for LA's Next Great Stage Star, which is the 13th year of this musical theater
show.
Competition, which is pointed toward Broadway. Mm-hmm. And we have an amazing group of contestants, 12 contestants this year, 6 women, 6 men. First time that's ever happened in 13 years.
Wow.
Men, 6 women.
Amazing.
It's weird, right?
That is
nice
weird.
Split.
Yeah.
Makes it good for the dance numbers.
Yes,
everybody
has
your
partner,
man. You're ready to go.
but we are knee-deep in that, and it opens this Sunday, as I said. It's a 1 o'clock series of Sunday matinees through June 30th. And the audience has a great time because they get to vote along with the judges, who are all professional, and the people who these young people should be seen by to get jobs in Southern California theater.
Can you reveal a couple of the judges? Obviously,
oh, my gosh. Michael Donovan, the casting director, Michael Donovan. We have actually about 5 or 6 casting directors in on this year. They
Adrian
all
kind of, and I become a part of it, too.
Adrian,
I did it.
Adrian's career jumped out from that competition.
That's right.
Well, then I need to come. I mean, I can be old and young at the same time. She's gifted.
I tell you, the amazing kids on this, and they are, I mean, what's the age limit? There's an age limit on
this,
right?
Well, it's 18 to 32. So
and
that
these
was good,
kids
both
are
of you.
Amazing. That's right. You're both
and,
golden, yes.
Yeah.
But there's certainly, I mean, the amount of talent in that room is stunning. And these are all kids who, generally speaking, haven't broken out yet. And how many have broken out and been on Broadway after this?
23.
23 of your alumni.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's
thank
lovely.
You.
They need that for opera.
Yeah.
Some
yeah,
of
those.
They do. You're, oh, that's a great
they need
idea.
That for opera.
That's a great
Why
point.
Why should we be shut out of the arts?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And some of those kids are on their 3rd and 4th Broadway shows.
Wow.
It's impressive. Yeah.
And
impressive.
I'm not talking about being in the ensemble. They have featured and
Carrie St. Louis. And,
yeah. What?
Carrie St. Louis. She
Carrie
was
St. Louis,
as well.
Leading
yeah.
roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Carrie was
and
in your
Cameron,
year.
Too.
Well, you were second runner-up
mm-hmm.
that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who was your winner last year?
Last year was Robert Collins, mm-hmm. who just finished an 8-week run starring in Big River at one of the major
that's
theaters
right.
in Phoenix.
That's
fantastic.
Right.
And he just also got through with, he was invited to this very special invitation to do the boot camp for Hamilton.
Wow.
And he got through that, and then he's had 4 callbacks for Book of Mormon on Broadway.
Wow.
And they're in the U.S. tour.
It's talented people out there in this program.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how many are working in musical theater? I know you have the 23 on Broadway.
It's
but
about 50%.
So half of them.
Yeah, half of them. So out of the total number of 238 contestants that have been through the competition in the past 13 years. So it's really something that I never, ever realized when I put it together and conceived
That's
it.
It's a gift.
Yeah,
it's
that
really
it that it was going to reach this length of time and this level of interest, especially with our community of the performing arts.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Patrick Cassidy coming out for his first time
that's right.
as a judge for on behalf of 5-Star Theatricals.
That'll
it's
be
taken
great.
Me 2 years to
that's
get
fantastic.
Him because he's so busy.
Yeah.
He is
but,
a busy man.
He
yeah.
is. Yeah. Yeah, and a lovely man he
mm-hmm.
is, too. And he's doing some great work out there as the artistic director for 5-Star Theatricals.
Of course, Matilda just finished. They had an amazing, amazing
directed by Louis
that.
Wolkenfeld.
That's right.
He's great.
Say. Yeah, he's amazing.
That's right.
And you, sir?
Busy week, been running all over the, I just finished Sometimes We Sleep, which I was directing and fight choreographers for, so it was like we were swamped with that. Got back in town and started, dealing with all the stuff of the upcoming projects. You and I have a lot of stuff going on right now on our plate, but excited about today's show because the talent
Me
we
too.
Have in studio here today, old friends as well as new, which I love. We got some cool things to
Thank
talk
you.
About. But not only that, I mean, there is a lot of theater going on in LA right now. Really good stuff and amazing performers from all around the world here in the Southland.
That's
pretty
true.
Cool to see.
And we have you don't know this, Gail, but we have had several, not several, but a few shows very mm-hmm. recently about opera.
That's right.
And we don't often get a chance to cover that world.
Particularly from the artistic director point of view.
The Verdi Chorus on the Santa Monica there.
My good friend Ann Ketchum.
Of course. Yes, wonderful.
And, yes.
Talented people they have there, too. My goodness.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we like that when we can talk about something that is a little different. And as you said, I think more people need to pay attention to opera than
I wholeheartedly agree.
That's right.
Because it is an amazing art.
There's a whole new generation of the millennials that need to become familiar. And that's sort of part of my want with this show, is that we reach the new audience and give them a message that's not just standard opera repertoire, but that actually has a political, social message that they can apply to today's world.
Wonderful.
Well, very important.
You certainly have the credentials to be giving that advice, right?
So no doubt about it, absolutely.
Give her a nice...
So obviously, Gail is the founder and artistic director of, and am I saying this right, Numi Opera?
Numi Opera.
Numi Opera. And you started that in 2000, I believe, was your first company?
My very first company was Opera Nova in 2000,
amazing.
Correct.
Amazing. And Opera Nova, which she founded and gave young singers the opportunity to perform the standard repertoire. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
She went on to lead the Santa Monica College Opera Theater in 2008. And has produced many traditional operas from the masterworks of Mozart, Puccini, Verdi, and Bizet.
Bizet. Carmen.
Nailed
it. I said it right.
Good
addition, she was responsible for the acclaimed West Coast premiere of Tobias Picker's An American Tragedy. In producing this epic work that had only previously been heard at the Metropolitan Opera.
Based on the book by Theodore Dreiser.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Wow.
And that's just a few of the things this woman has done. And
that's why I'm so tired, Michael.
She needs the Princess Cruise.
You want to go back to the Lucy show?
I do.
Okay. We'll let you. Okay. Now we need you. We need you in
that's
opera.
Right.
That's good.
And
no
you know the
about
thing
it.
About opera is, I think that accelerates it, is this, we had a young man recently connected as a special guest for the Verdi Chorus.
Verdi Chorus.
And I cannot remember his name. Peter.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Riyad Said. Right?
Said. Yeah.
Said. Mm. And he was part of, he's part of this community of what they call Barahunks, right?
Yes, I have friends. I have very good friends who are part of that. A man named Zachary Gordon up in the Bay Area. He's a good buddy of mine.
That's
he's
great.
He's a Barahunk. These are some pretty hot young men.
You should see the calendar, man. I'm telling
you. Well, it changes the face of opera, right? I mean,
I don't know if the face is probably the main focus.
She means the voice, Gail, of course. It's all about the voice, naturally.
We don't even know her that well.
Now, Gail, is your professional name Gail R. Gordon? Is that correct? You use the middle initial?
I think that's more my legal name. You can just call me Gail.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are thrilled to have her here. Let's give her a big round of applause.
That's
Gail Gordon.
Legal name. This crowd gets her.
They do. Hey,
yeah.
Thank goodness.
They knew that this was going to be a poppin' show already, I could tell. Gail, how'd you first get involved with the opera art form?
So this, I mean, we're going to have to go back a few decades, right?
Yeah.
Realistically. My mother sang. My grandfather sang. So my mom sang on the Yiddish radio back in Springfield, Massachusetts when she was like 17, 18 years old. So we're talking 1939, 1940.
Wow.
Amazing.
So I grew up with music in the home. My brother was a member of the Columbia Record Club, and he brought all these wonderful records into the house. The first time I ever heard Aida was a Tibaldi recording that he had brought in. But the thing that really clicked me in was a movie that was based on the biography of Grace Moore. And Catherine Grayson, if you remember her, sang the lead.
And just before
she passed, I had the opportunity to meet her and thank her for turning me on to opera. It was really because of her that I was so taken with it that I had to do it. So I started it. 2 years later, I started taking lessons. My mother would slip me the money behind my dad's back because he didn't approve.
Wow.
But, you know, he was raised in
the Depression. I'll bet he approved at the end, right? I mean, that's like the kind of thing where it's like he saw where you went. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah.
Well, certainly you've done a lot of great things. How many opera companies have you been involved with over those years?
Oh, gosh. The ones that I've performed with or the ones...
I guess I mean mostly as an artistic director.
Three.
Wow. And each time you must learn how many amazing performers there are out there because opera has had a huge resurgence in recent years.
I'm very fortunate that growing up on the West Side, we've had some incredible singers that have been launched into the Met, Houston Grand Opera, San Francisco. Our lead is Rodel Rozelle, who's playing the Zwerg, the dwarf. He's had an international and very heavy national career. He just came back from the Met to come and sing in our production. Mm. Shauna Blake Hill was one of the first young artists at the LA Opera program when they in its inception in 2000. Mm-hmm. She sung all over the world.
Wow.
I have this wonderful, wonderful young soprano who is also LA-based, who's now living in New York, Oriana Faya. Mm. She's playing the Infanta. She's a remarkable young singer, and I think when you guys come down to hear me, because I know you will, you'll be blown away. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the Roberto Gomez, who also has sung all over, he's sung with Verdi Chorus
many times.
I'd come
just because of the way you said that.
Roberto Gomez.
It's also the only name she's mentioned I can spell correctly so far. Exactly. So my hashtags are going to be really interesting as we move forward here.
So he has sung with Verdi Chorus. Shauna has sung with Verdi Chorus. Rodell has sung with Verdi Chorus. Wow. Peter, have I left anyone out?
That's everyone in this group, yes.
Okay. Wow, amazing.
Well, the
amazing.
Cool thing is, this is the opera is called, and it's rarely performed, Der Zwerg, right?
Zwerg.
Zwerg.
I'm going to give you a little lesson.
Would you smack me across the face?
Der Zwerg.
Wow.
Der Zwerg.
That's better.
It was close.
She was just so good that she rebought it.
The more important part is it's from a story by Oscar Wilde.
Yes. Wow. Very it's cool. Based on one of his short stories called The Birthday of the Infanta, which is actually based on a painting by Diego Velázquez.
Oh. Wow.
That was from the 1600s called The Birthday of the Infanta, or Las Meninas.
Wow.
Oh.
And it shows a young girl, a young princess.
I've seen that painting.
Yes.
It's in the museum in Madrid.
Absolutely.
Wow. Because I've been there for 2 years.
Wow. Yes,
you
did.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to be in Madrid.
Yeah, it's a cool place. Anyway.
Okay, so
I digress.
I have this feeling that I need to be anywhere other. Right. Anyway, so we're going to go back. So
Michael, you and I could actually leave. We're done.
That, what she's talking about now, is based on that old Lucy episode when they were in the vat.
The grape crushing.
Where they were crushing wine.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I like the See's Candy one.
Yes. Now, that's a lot of derivations from this one theme, from the painting to the opera to the story to the musical.
It's sort of a triptych. So we're starting with the painting. The painting evolves into the story by Oscar Wilde. Oscar Wilde's story, he makes her a little bit older. He makes her 16. By the time Georges Clarin takes the libretto and turns it into Der Zwerg, this is the eve of her 18th birthday. Mm-hmm. But the theme is still the same. She is royalty, and they find a singing dwarf to give to her for her birthday. So, okay,
That's exactly what I asked for last year. No kidding.
A guy or a girl?
It didn't matter. A singing dwarf. I thought that would be amazing for a birthday present.
So the
Very
only
traditional present.
The only issue with it is he falls in love with her.
Of course he does. He has to. It's opera.
And then he dies of a broken heart, which is always opera. Somebody has to die.
Of a broken heart.
Of a broken heart. And then to her final line to him as she comes up and she kicks him on the foot and she says, "Oh, my toy is broken. I have to go back to the ballroom and dance."
Oh. Wow.
Yes. Like some of the girls I grew up with.
So this is obviously a social commentary on the lack of understanding, on the lack of growth of an aristocratic society. Is that correct?
I would absolutely say that. And if we're going to bring it down to a political social level, there's a lot of elements of this opera that I believe are existent today.
Wow. And I'm sure that's true of any great work. Any great work capitalizes on those political things that keep coming back at us time and time again.
So this is like one of the most interesting stories of an opera that I've heard about.
Yeah.
And for those of you listening to this program, if you've never been to the opera, I would say this might be the one that you would want to see first out of the gate, right?
I think it's user-friendly. We are also incorporating a narrator who's going to be reading little blurbs of the Oscar Wilde story.
Oh, amazing. That's a great idea. Wow.
So we're interspersing it so that you get an idea of what the original story was about.
And there's only two performances of this.
Correct.
And it's on May 30th and June 2nd at the theater at Ace Hotel.
Yes.
And tickets are now on sale at numiopera.org. That's N-U-M-I opera.org. Mm-hmm. Or by calling 888-929-7849.
Mm-hmm.
And get some more information there and have your credit card ready. And you can buy on the phone and do all that kind of good
stuff.
What
kind of price
right?
are we looking at for tickets?
So with the cheaper tickets are $35, medium tickets $55, expensive tickets $75, which I think is a deal if you've gone to the opera.
A great deal for world-class performers, obviously.
Yeah, they are.
That's amazing.
They
How
are.
Big's your orchestra?
We are not using an orchestra.
Oh, okay.
We are actually using the piano reduction for our inaugural performance.
Interesting.
We're keeping it very, very minimalist. The staging is very minimalist, and the orchestra as well, so that you can have more relationship with the singers and more contact with the singers without the interference of sort of extraneous
Wonderful.
Sounds.
That's great.
Wow.
Obviously, awesome. This is a great way to introduce people to opera. This is a wonderful kind of get out and go do it on Memorial Day weekend, correct? Is that
that's a fun thing
to do.
Memorial Day weekend.
Very cool. As an artistic director, what's your desire to convey to the audience through this production more than anything else? What do you want them to leave with?
So there are a few things. The composer Zemlinsky is part of the suppressed composer recovered voice series that James Conlon came out with in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I was very taken by that. These are typically Jewish composers in Germany in the 1920s, 1930s,
oh my goodness.
Who were suppressed by the Third Reich, by the Nazis, who ended up having to leave. Our next performance is going to be by a composer named Korngold, who became a movie composer. He was sort of the father of Hollywood in movie music. But he was also a Wunderkind. And there were theories that if he had been able to stay in Vienna, that he would have been actually more accelerated than Mozart. So there's these composers, I'm hoping that people will take them home. They'll take Zemlinsky home. They want to hear him. They start listening to him. They pass on his name to their friends. When they go to the opera, they look to see, or if the symphony, because he wrote a lot of symphonic pieces, if there's anything playing with his name attached to it, or this whole Lost Voices series of composers that fell victim to the Third Reich. So I'm hoping to raise the communal awareness. Thought and intelligence level of our audiences.
You just did.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Me and Michael, and that's impressive, no doubt about it.
Good job.
There's a
I'm so inspired.
Yeah.
I
really am.
Yeah. We should all be singing
I love
opera.
That's right. Trust me. You don't want me singing opera. Trust me. Of all the things you don't want me doing, singing opera is one of them. It's interesting. I actually had a chance to go online for a couple shows that we've worked on opera previously and look at some of these recordings. And if you haven't had a chance for our listeners to get out there and just kind of Google up a couple of the great opera performances recently, you're going to get hooked because there's some really amazing performances there. And the music is very often, sometimes it's not, but very often it's so calming too. Mm-hmm. You actually have those classical musical themes that are designed to give your brain more melatonin, allow you to kind of settle in. It's not necessarily like the music we listen to that gets us stirred up. It allows you to settle in and understand the story, which I found calming and wonderful and refreshing in a lot of ways.
Where did you find that piece of information about the melatonin?
It was on one of my famous website searches. It came up when we were actually talking to
on
Mr.
melatonin.com.
Mr. Said, yes. No, there's actually a thing that says, and of course everybody's known for years, if you play classical music for your children, it stimulates their brains.
That's
it doesn't,
true.
And there's a whole lot of people who say different things about it, but it's just good for your kids. That's just all there is.
My
opera has a very
me.
Really
mm-hmm.
well
I
that boy that's a
kids,
so that's an endorsement right there. Yeah,
yes.
No doubt about it.
Three way. You're good.
One of the
what?
Things that I said.
Yes.
So
we're already into three ways.
Three children.
Kind of a show is this?
And there goes our iTunes rating. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Children.
My God, I know it's a holiday, but
think about that, though. That's three talented performers, all of whom were exposed to classical music
absolutely.
Early on. That does that for your children. It gives them that gift. But also, opera was said to stimulate the idea of storytelling because the music actually has musical themes that you don't need to speak the language to get, which
they're
I found
remarkable.
They're
called leitmotifs.
Leitmotifs.
And they actually took form under Wagner.
Wow.
So every character has a theme.
Yeah.
And in this neo-romantic period that my opera's from, Der Zwerg, you'll hear themes that represent the different characters. And he'll change the melodic structure of the theme to reflect the mood of the character at the particular time in the story.
No.
That's amazing.
Well, and
that's
the amazing. Other thing, I'm a singer too, and as a classically trained singer, people who do study the classics maintain a wonderful technique throughout their lives.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
that's
you
right.
never really lose your voice. I mean, your timbre may change or your range may change as you age, but your technique is something that never goes away, and it preserves the quality and the truthfulness of your voice.
Yes, you're a finely performed athlete.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
Finely tuned athlete.
That's right.
Exactly.
They say the same thing about dance, of course. If you start with ballet, it helps you with hip-hop, which I think is an interesting
combination.
Well,
I'm not so good at hip-hop, and I started with ballet.
I'm
She's
good
amazing.
At, I'm good at both.
Okay.
It's interesting to see how classical techniques have remained necessary through all the training, even though entertainment has taken so many changes. If you get your basics in the classics, you're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gail, thank you so much. That
thank
is
you,
amazing.
Gemma.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Give her a big round of applause, ladies
Yay!
And gentlemen. Yeah.
Yay!
Sandy, I love it. Man, we got them going. Obviously, huge thanks. And there's a lot of good stuff going on in Los Angeles, but how often do you get a chance to see world-class opera that close to home? That's a really great
thing.
Yeah.
That's right. Go, go, go.
That's right. Ladies so, and gentlemen, yes. Our next guest is a bi-coastal actress, singer, and dancer. Our first guest is equally comfortable on the big and small stage, and so is our next guest. She has had many, many appearances, including Anytime Annie in 42nd Street on Broadway, and as Dorothy Brock with 3D Theatricals and Palace Verdes Performing Arts. You played it twice, is that correct?
I did.
Amazing. Wow. A lifetime role.
Yeah, I started that show at 42nd Street, and I've come full circle to play the old lady now. So there you go.
That's fantastic.
Other theatrical credits include the title role in MAME, which I saw the footage of, and mm-hmm. I must say you did an amazing job.
She's
one
magical.
Of my favorite shows.
Thank you.
One of Never mine done too. Very well, very often.
I know.
You did
Musical Theater West is doing it this season.
Who is?
Musical Theater West.
Oh, they're smart to do
wow.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, very wow. much so. Tessie Tura from MAME mm-hmm. to Tessie Tura in Gypsy.
Huge range.
To Mrs. Banks in Barefoot in the Park, Marion in The Music Man, and Kate in Kiss Me, Kate, among others.
That's right. And much like our first guest, she has a basis in classical music, but her film and TV credits include HBO's Game Change, Criminal Minds, Friendly Neighborhood, Coven, Non-Disclosure, Stronger Than Pretty, and There's a Place in Hell for Fashion Bloggers.
Yay! As a singer, she has appeared in numerous cabarets and boasts multiple solo recordings. And I have those recordings, and I stand by them.
That's right.
Today, she joins us to tell us about her current role as Hope in Be a Good Little Widow at the Odyssey Theater, opening officially tomorrow night, May 24th. Mm-hmm. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, one more time, Sandy Bainham.
Yeah.
My God.
Sandy, welcome, welcome. So good to see you.
So good to be back.
Yeah. What a fun thing. And obviously, you played so many amazing roles and are so well known for your performances here in the Southland and all over the world. What's been your favorite so far?
Oh, wow. I have a special place in my heart, like I said, for 42nd Street, because that's where I got started.
Sure.
So that will always be probably my tipping point of favorites. But
can I also say
MAME is fantastic
to that, Sandy,
too?
You were doing the national tour of that
yes.
show.
Yes. Wow.
And you met your husband
I
when
did.
You played Washington, D.C.
Yes.
He's gonna get you for not saying that on air first. He
no.
wants his credit.
No, it's true. I said there was a celebration recently because of 50 years, I think, somewhere in New York about 42nd Street. And David Merrick, I often think of, is responsible for my current status of life because
wow.
I met my husband while I was doing 42nd Street. I have two children because of that marriage.
Wow.
And so I have a lot of gratitude yeah. for that opportunity.
But that's cool. That's a cool story.
Tell us about how you met your husband, because it's really such
I hope his old girlfriend isn't listening.
Uh-oh.
maybe she should be listening.
That's right.
Yeah,
give me your name. I'll hashtag her coming up.
He was actually in the first row, a front row at the National Theater in Washington, D.C., because we were in D.C. at the time. And he was with a date, and he called the theater the next day and left a message with the stage door operator, because we didn't have cell phones back then. And he said, I'd like to leave a message for Sandy Yerish. That was my maiden name. And so I came in, and the lady said...
It would
said,
have been even been better if you
yeah,
said Sandy
well, and he
That would have been
extra.
I got some plans in
and
mind,
he
girl.
Was in Maryland, he was in the Maryland state legislature at the time. So he was
wow.
a state senator.
Right.
Well, I didn't know the difference between a state senator and a U.S. senator back in those days. So when I walked in Washington, D.C., and the stage door operator said... Senator Bainham called for you, and he'd like you to call him back. I thought,
wow.
Well, who in the heck does this guy think he is? I'm not going to call this guy back. So long story short, he did call back in between shows, and he said, I saw your show last night, and I think you were flirting with me.
Oh.
And I said, really? I said, where were you sitting? I flirt with every man in the
nice.
First 15 rows.
Nice. Did you remember him from the audience at all?
No.
Right, you never do, but that's cool. So obviously, that's actually a huge credit to you that probably every man who left that theater thought, you know, she was looking at me.
Yeah.
Looking right at me. That's a pretty cool thing. That's awesome.
That's a talent.
See, I would have come up and said, I have some state legislature that I'm trying to push through on musical theater. I was wondering if I could discuss it with you at length
yeah.
over dinner.
And I would say, no.
That's very funny. What a great thing that he called up after that. Takes some guts.
He was aggressive. Yeah.
Well, it was all for the better because you...
Yes,
you,
I've had a very lucky, lovely life ever since. So
very
I
cool.
feel very fortunate.
That's
very
right.
cool.
And now let's talk about this new project that
yes.
you're doing.
Yeah.
Be a Good Little Widow, written by Becca Brunstetter.
Mm-hmm.
Producer, writer, This Is Us, I'm giving her credit, The Cake, directed by Brandon Baer, who's such a wonderful director here in Los Angeles. And it's a limited engagement, ladies and gentlemen. It opens tomorrow night, May 24th, at the Odyssey Theater, a classic theater here in West Los Angeles. And here's a quote, actually, from the New York Times. Miss Brunstetter, the playwright, writes fresh, unfussy dialogue and characters who earn their laughs and emotional moments by honest means.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's a pretty good thing coming from
great,
the New York Times,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
So, Sandy, you play...
I play Hope.
Hope, and that's the mother of...
Of Craig. This is a four-hander play, and my wonderful co-star, Adrian Visnick, is here, who plays Melody.
Yes.
Yep. It's a story of loss. I play a mother of a son who gets killed tragically in a plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
And
does the play open with that being
the play opens that happened, with or? Melody and Craig celebrating
him coming home.
Him coming back to Connecticut from living in Boulder, Colorado,
and he
meets this young woman and falls in love, and it's a whirlwind romance, and they very quickly get married. And I had only met this young woman once prior to the wedding, so hearing that he's engaged is shocking to me. And then I get invited to the wedding, which I had nothing to do with, and then he gets a job offer to move to Connecticut, so they come back to Connecticut. So the play opens with them fussing about me coming for dinner for the first time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's the dynamics of the new mother-in-law, new daughter-in-law, two very different type
people.
Of personalities, loving the same person. And then the fourth person is a paralegal to Craig, who is a corporate lawyer. And so it's a very interesting dynamic about how people deal with love and loss and grief. And it's enchanting in the sense that it's such a well-told story that is very honest and truthful, which is very hard to convey as an actor in some of these moments. And yet at the same time, it's very funny and light, because for some people, grief is funny. I mean, you find yourself at a funeral sometimes and you hear giggling and cackling because people are remembering people for different reasons. And some people deal with their grief that way. And what it is four different people dealing with their grief in four different ways. Because Craig, even though he dies, comes back in spirit to be part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really
incredibly
beautiful.
Does he manifest physically on stage during that?
Does.
Very
yeah.
cool. Very cool. Things, it's interesting too, as you talk about kind of grief and things that we're dealing with in our modern world, obviously a lot of turbulent times and that sort of thing. And the idea of laughter and how we handle it, how we cope, you have to have that depth of emotion to be able to see both sides of it. Comedy and tragedy are so closely related. It's a very touching story to think of a child and a mother and how they deal with that loss. That's a difficult thing to deal with.
Well, and the story is Be a Good Little Widow, because Craig and I have been going through life for the last 16 or 17 years alone, because I too lost my husband.
Mm.
So I am a professional widow, so to speak, because I've been through it as a young person too, not as young as Melody. So I am trying to give her the guidance of what I learned along the way, but she's not always a good student.
As daughters and daughter-in-laws very often aren't.
No.
I'm going to ignore everything my mother
lost. You never saw eye to eye in the first place, which is kind of the bittersweet story.
But there's your arc
thing.
For change as well, which is a cool thing.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
So Sterling Knight, the youngster, the wonderful actor.
Wonderful actor.
From television.
You
from
just
Disney.
Like his name.
Yes.
Wasn't Sterling.
Embraced him, gave him a start. And then he was on the...
Sunny with a Chance, right? Sunny
with a Chance. And he was on the Joey and Melissa show.
Wow. He's lovely.
Yeah.
Great.
Charming, sweet. They have wonderful chemistry. We have wonderful chemistry. We just love each
He's
other.
He's like a teen idol kind of guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he plays Craig, correct?
He plays Craig. So he plays my son.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a wonderful young man named Kylan Rambo. Kylan was on Teen Wolf, and he's done some other things. He's
in a movie coming out this summer called 47 Feet Under.
Yeah.
It's a shark
movie.
Shark action.
He also starred in that movie with Zach
Zephron.
Zephron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is, this is his very first stage play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been really exciting to share that with him because it's all the same. It's all the same sense of storytelling, but it's learning how to do it in a different medium and a different activeness and realizing that theater is a sport,
yeah.
really, where you're on stage for an hour and a half mm-hmm. to figure out how to do it, where it's different than the instincts that you might have with TV or what works on TV and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. He was so cute because really... he said one day, you know, I went to scratch my face because I was thinking of what I was saying, and Brandon didn't say, don't scratch your face. When you're on camera, people are like, don't put your hands up to your face. So he's like, it's kind of liberating.
That's
like,
funny.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
It's a very different,
That's
it's
right.
very different muscles to exercise, right?
That's
when
right.
you're on stage. So he is really, really delightful, and he's so cute. One day, Adrian and he were working on their scenes, mm-hmm. and Brandon had given them the blocking, and Adrian was there, like, drawing her, blocking and her stage rendering. And he goes, wow, is that, like, an advanced theater technique? I need to learn.
That's different from film.
Adrian looked at it very cutely, and she goes, no, I'm just writing in my blocking.
That's
so
funny.
He was just yeah. so sweet.
He's just honest and lovely.
He's
We've been
honest
really blessed
and
with,
grounded. Yeah. We're so lucky.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you've mentioned her. We should bring her in. Ladies yeah. and gentlemen, you know her well if you're listening to the show. Our next guest is a triple threat and a frequent visitor to State of the Arts, whose theatrical credits include Million Dollar Quartet with 3D Theatricals, Real Housewives, the musical at the Gary Marshall Theater, Carnal Desire, a satire at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and Barefoot in the Park at the Lyric Hyperion Theater.
And before we go
with
on
Miss
about
Annie
and before we go on about her, I just want to say you mentioned about Million Dollar Quartet and mm-hmm. 3D Theatricals.
Yeah.
She was smoking.
Oh.
Yeah. Hot in this
and that
show.
Was saying something because she was put up there with a lot of good-looking dudes too.
We
who
had a
really,
lot of
yeah,
that's right.
Some Vera Hunks.
Yes. In fact, isn't Cole on stage right now in Vegas?
Cole,
Heartbreak
he is.
Hotel.
Vegas,
yeah, playing,
yeah,
yeah. playing Elvis Presley again. I think.
Yes, he's uh-huh. always he will always
Thank
be Elvis Presley
much.
In
I mean,
our hearts.
Thank
yes.
you very much.
That's right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, with the Heartbreak Hotel. Right?
That's right. I saw the clip of that. It looked great.
She was amazing. Did you see that show?
I was there with my little boy. In fact, it was Caleb's first.
It's such a fun show. You feel like you're like a rock star with these guys who are so talented.
And that number where you
on
top of the piano,
laying in that pink dress.
I had a couple interesting conversations to have with my 8-year-old after that.
Oh,
I was like, now, not every woman acts like that every time you see her. Please be aware this was a studio recording session.
It's so funny because I don't dress like that in my real life. So like friends of mine who've known me forever were like, what? That's what you, what?
Well, and
yeah, that's what you look like?
Keep in mind, you had to do that because you were competing with John Countryman over there playing piano with his toes.
No,
so, yeah, you had a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot of things going on that stage.
Well,
yeah.
She's done some other great things, too.
That's
TV
right.
and film credits include a recurring guest starring role in ABC's 10 Days in the Valley, a co-starring role in Switched at Birth, a guest starring role on 6 Degrees, and a lead role in Girl Band, a mm-hmm. Tribeca Film Festival official selection. In addition to her commercial work, she has also appeared as Cruella de Vil in the Disney Villains Counting Scars music video.
She was nominated as Best Female Cabaret Artist by Broadway World for her debut solo cabaret, Sunny Side Up, at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
Where was
with
that?
This guy.
I believe, and it's a little-known venue that's one of my favorites, a gym here in the town,
a
if you haven't
gym.
Been there.
Yes.
Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
Yes.
Yes.
Place.
We've had a lot of Sterlings on the show today, my goodness.
I know.
Right.
I've never met so many Sterlings in my life.
I know, right?
Right.
Yeah. She's done so many wonderful things. She followed that up with a solo cabaret, Who, What, Where, it's spelled W-E-A-R, which is always very fun as well, at the Rockwell Table and Stage.
She joins us today to talk about her co-starring role in Be a Good Little Widow. Please welcome Adrian Visnick.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
It's always nice to be had.
It is always nice to be had.
Yes.
I couldn't agree more.
Now, last time you were here, you brought those guys with you from Million Dollar Quartet.
I know.
We sang a little bit, didn't we?
We sang. They're so talented.
We did.
You all were. That was
turned
a great
into
cast.
A rock stage.
That was a
rock star
three
stage.
Songs with that.
Well, I think
yeah.
we had,
yeah.
didn't we have 5 people in studio
yeah,
that day?
It was allowed.
That was fun.
Was
you brought the whole
day.
Band with you.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we booked only 2.
That's right.
And the rest of them, you know, came
just
along.
Came.
No,
yeah.
the rest of them just showed
well,
up.
Well, the they dynamic did. Was fun because obviously that show, Million Dollar Quartet, is about a unique moment in time where 3 stars came together briefly. And the show that comes from that is just an amazing, lighthearted romp that you go through these amazing musical journey with a place and time, Sun
yeah.
Studios.
I've never
goodness.
Done a show like that before where you just feel like you're in a rock concert.
Right,
for
every
like
day.
2 hours. Yeah.
Well, my kid, he wore his little cowboy boots that day, and he was bouncing when he left, man. He was ready to be Johnny Cash for the rest of his life. So, no doubt about it.
Yeah, David Elkins was awesome. Yeah.
So, you got to tell me, I know that obviously, and you've had such a wonderful career. How did you get your start, and where did all this come from?
I started doing theater when I was little. When I was 7, started doing theater camp. I decided to go to theater camp instead of computer science camp, which my dad wanted to send me to.
You didn't want
to
make money. I understand. Okay.
I got it, yeah. Yeah. I was like, do you want to go to typing class or do you want to go to theater camp? And I was like, I will go to theater camp. And and then just had an amazing teacher, Mr. Campbell, and always sat in the back of the theater and you played a Mr. Campbell, and I think about him all the time. So I hope that everybody has a Mr. Campbell in their life.
She's also a wonderful artist. She's a wonderful doodle artist, which she won't tell you about, but she has like a line of t-shirts too.
I do. I have a t-shirt company
that she makes fantastic.
Do you really?
Yeah, she's an amazing drawer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I started doing that in high school because I couldn't focus in class if I didn't draw.
Wow.
And then people would look through my notebooks being like, you should do something that you can actually make money and do this with. And so I made a t-shirt company called Sweet Tea.
Okay, so like Sweet Tea.
Like, with tea.
With cupcakes and donuts.
So that augments
your
financial income?
Yeah, I do other things besides just that. But I made back my initial investment on that. And so now I'm just like trying to figure out what I want to do with it next. And
so where can people
turn
find
into a nonprofit or something like that?
Yeah. Where can people find Sweet Tea?
SweetTea.com.
Okay, that's T E E. Okay, cool. Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's good. Impressive.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. It's something that I've like always wanted to do, and I love drawing, and it's something physical that's creative, but it's not anything about the business at all. So it's a good outlet for me to just be able to physically do something. And yeah.
Now you also sing and act a little bit, yeah?
I do. Yeah.
On the side.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you get involved with this show? What was the process to get you there?
I actually went to school. I went to USC with Brandon Baer.
Mm-hmm. I went to USC.
Very cool.
You did?
Yes.
Fight on.
Wow. Fight on.
No way. That's so funny. Yeah, so
all our UCLA listeners just tuned out. Thanks
a lot.
Exactly. Really appreciate
and by
it.
UCLA. And it's fine. We can only celebrate so many things from USC.
We're left
right
with
now,
USC.
So let's celebrate the things that we can celebrate.
Well, the year that you were came in second in LA's Next Great Stage Star.
I was graduating from SC. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so was there were a few girls in the competition.
Jen Kranz.
Jen won that
Jade
year.
Jade Johnson. Alex Arthur, a couple other people. Yeah.
And now this year, we've got more people, more of the kids are from UCLA this year.
Interesting.
No accounting for taste.
You just got two boycotts on your show, Michael.
UCLA is good, too.
Yeah, I'd say that to their parents.
Well, obviously, you've had a bunch of cool things that happened up until this point. What do you want people to have when they leave this show? What's the thing that you feel is kind of the heart of this piece?
I think what you can walk away with, it's going to make me cry, but the thing that you can walk away with is that there's so many different ways to deal with grief, and none of them are right, and none of them are wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the hardest thing to deal with, is that you can be haunted by a thought and by a person that is no longer with you, but the way that in which you deal with it, you have to understand that, you know, my mother-in-law might have one way to deal with it, and I have to be respectful of that, but I also have to be respectful of what I need to do to grieve with it as well. And so it's there's so many different ways to grieve.
I think also the thing that comes away from it, we've now done 3 previews and we have our last preview tonight, is I've had people come up to me at the end and say how moved they were by the show. It is sad. It has some real sad moments, but it also is
very
funny.
It's very funny.
And the humor is so naturally written that it's just not playing the joke. It's just funny. But I think what the beauty of the story is that it really focuses on the two women's relationship and how when one seems to be in total control and the other seems to be kind of out to lunch or just so distracted. And then it has this beautiful arc that suddenly the mother is totally despondent. And the audience realizes that she's lost everything, you know. And then this young woman takes the lead and guides her through. So there's this beautiful catharsis of just these two people are completely different.
Yeah.
But they have the one thing that they both loved very intensely, and that's what keeps them together. Or not, but there's a permission to move on.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the play. And it's so beautiful. We think that's what we want people to take away, that grief is it impacts all of us, mm-hmm. no matter whether you expect it, you want it, it's going to happen to all of us. And so understanding that there is a life after, that it takes time, and that it takes a lot of love and acceptance is hopeful. You know, yeah. It gives people hope.
Wow. Well, again, the piece is called Be a Good Little Widow, right. And this is comedy drama, correct?
Yes.
There's a lot of both. And there's no singing, is this correct?
No, it's a play. Now,
these are two of the finest voices I've ever heard in my life, and neither of you sing in this show.
So
I'm going to give you a little hint, and I'm not a theater director by trade. I don't know if this is good or not, but just stand up and start singing. Because, yeah. Right? I mean, come on. People are going to get a little
there
extra for their
music.
Money.
There's a lot of really great playlist music happening in the show because yeah. I, as Melody, love music, so there's always music playing.
I still think it's a waste to not have those two beautiful voices singing on stage, but this sounds like a great piece, and obviously, at this time in the world's history, we can use a little more comedy drama going on out there to show us how we deal with hard situations, that sort of thing.
And it opens officially tomorrow night.
That's right.
Friday, May 24th.
Get them ready.
At 8 p.m., and it will run through Sunday, June 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Performances are Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 p.m., and Sundays at 2 p.m. And it is at the Odyssey Theater, which is located at 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard in Los Angeles, West Los Angeles. Tickets are very affordable, between $35 and $45. They are available at Ovation Tix, and that is Ovation T-I-X. .com
mm-hmm.
or by calling the box office at 310-477-2055.
That's right.
And there's parking.
What a great thing.
If you don't have any other reason to go to the theater, go to this theater because you can park.
Just go and park.
Yes,
you can see the show once and then park night after night after
yes,
night. It's a great thing.
Yes.
Show is called Be a Good Little Widow. Look it up now. Obviously, this is a piece that has a deeper meaning and a lot of important things going on. When we talk about theater and when we talk about what's going on, we talk so much on the show about having to get the kids up and get out and go see theater, mm-hmm. Certainly for a date night. Go see something because it starts the conversation. And we all have to deal with grief. So good ways to deal with that is an important thing.
Absolutely.
No
absolutely.
Doubt about it. Hey, Michael,
yes.
You know what time it is?
Yeah, what time is
oh,
it?
Oh, my goodness, Michael.
And now, embarrassing moments.
It snuck up on us, didn't it? Oh, my goodness.
Turning that's red right now.
We have about 30 seconds. Sandy, would you start us off with 30 embarrassing
seconds.
Moments? Yes, 30
think,
seconds each.
You know, I have had so many embarrassing moments. I try to forget them all, but there's nothing more embarrassing than just, like, being on stage. I had a little one last night, actually. Yeah, I was like so into my moment that I have a moment where I picked up Skittles and I was really enjoying the Skittles and I totally forgot where I was in the script. And so I was like staring at Adrian like, what the hell do I say next? And she was like looking at me like the puppy dog, like going, I feel your pain, but I am not giving you a thing.
No, no, no.
Anyway, I found myself, and the audience probably thought I was taking an emotional beat, but it was very awkward and embarrassing. And it's good because it's an awkward play.
Way to play it off.
Well,
I love it.
I'm a really great scene partner. And
one time this lady was looking at me and wanted her line, and I wasn't going to give it to her.
And then I was trying to think, you know, you have those moments where you're like trying to think of like something that could like spawn you to like,
that's right.
That's what was going through my head.
I've had that moment. And also, you don't want to step on their toes either in case they are
no,
having a particularly
exactly,
long pause
if,
for a purpose.
What if they were right. You were taking a beautiful moment.
Now, right. You knew it wasn't a beautiful moment.
I know. I tried.
Get real, Adrian.
I tried.
What you got for us? Any embarrassing moments come to mind?
Well, we mentioned Mr. Campbell in summer camp. I got to play Frank Butler when I was in fourth grade.
Wow.
Holy cow.
That's pretty cool.
You know, it was a great moment. But I forgot to take off. They had like sideburns and a mustache on me. And I changed into my clothes. And I was very excited to see my crush afterwards.
Oh, how funny.
And I saw Christopher Webber and I looked at him and he's like laughing at me. I was like, where are you? And then I had my mustache and my sideburns still on my face.
Did you guys date after that?
No.
Oh, come on.
I was fourth grade.
I would have been like, she's like, got a Groucho Marx sense of humor.
That was the end. That was when I peaked and that's when I fell.
Little did he know what he was going to miss out on.
Yep.
Come on.
Nothing.
Well, I got to tell you, she still has that mustache and sideburns on right now, ladies
she
and gentlemen.
Takes
him
everywhere she goes.
Yeah.
Gail Gordon.
Come on, Gail.
Oh, this is not an easy one for me. I think I was playing Marcellina in Marriage of Figaro, and I blew my entrance because I was backstage flirting with some guy.
That's what happens.
Which happens, right?
Yeah, I got to be backstage at an opera more often. This
backstage
sounds fun.
Opera is a very, very lascivious place.
Wow.
And so I walked out on what was sort of my next cue. the conductor was looking at me like, where have you been? Where have you been?
Dramatic pause.
That was about the extent of it. Wow. Opera doesn't have a lot of embarrassing moments unless you're playing Zalome.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That'll
Ooh,
do it.
Yeah.
That will do it. My goodness.
The hey, naked part.
We got to say, yeah, that'll be yeah,
a
no
doubt. Great show.
Well, and
today.
Obviously, these three, I mean, if you guys don't work together, all three of you, again, some point in the future, I'm going to be disappointed because you guys got a great simpatico.
Let's go audition for Gail.
Yeah.
Yay!
And of course, Michael and I need to be listed as co-producers on whatever great project you do after this because we did this.
As long as you finance me, you can do whatever.
Then we're in big trouble, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got $25.
That's right. I have about $25 I'm going to borrow from Michael.
That's a start.
Okay.
Hey, big thank you to all three of you. Thank you so much for being here. What a great time. Michael, what a fun time. And I always take such joy in getting to sit across from you and promote the arts here in Southern California. Where will I see you next week?
And I feel the same way about you, Andrew. And you will see me next week. Right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.